In and Out of the Kitchen by Damien Trench. The After Dinner. As long as I can be at my desk by 9 o'clock in the morning, I reason that I can lie in bed until a 8:15 and not have need to panic. A bowl of porridge or muesli, depending on the season, a round or two of sourdough toast with marmalade or another preserve if the mood takes and the hunger justifies it, and 2 cups of coffee from the cafetiere are all I need to get me wide awake and raring to go. And I'm not one to linger long in the shower, either. Anthony seems incapable of occupying the thing for blocks of less than 45 minutes at a time, but I do not see the shower as a place to luxuriate. No, that, surely, is the purpose of a bath. I blow-dry my hair, not a measure of vanity, rather a time-saving one, and I choose my clothes the night before anyway, so there's no problem about me umming and ahhing for too long in front of the wardrobe. In short, I can rise at 8:15 and be at my desk less than 3/4 hour later, fed, watered, washed, dressed, refreshed, and ready to write. And thus, as far as I'm concerned, it's perfectly reasonable to be in bed and asleep at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that'll be for you, Damien.
What? Why haven't we... Didn't we used to have a phone in the bedroom?
Yes, I moved it precisely for this reason, so you wouldn't conduct phone calls in bed.
Would you use your, thing, your tablet pad thing?
Yeah, yes, the iPad, and that is silent.
Right. Where are my slippers?
Oh, I tripped over something on my way in last night. I might have kicked them.
Oh, for goodness.
Well, just use the answering service.
But I turned it off, it kept ringing back.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, fine. I shall go barefoot.
Well, I'm sure you're not likely to get too many splinters from our extremely expensive carpets, Damien.
That is not the point.
Hello?
Where on earth have you been, Damien?
We were in bed still, asleep.
Asleep? It's 8 o'clock in the morning, Damien. What on earth? You're not sick, are you? It's not something infectious.
I shouldn't imagine it's phone-borne if it is.
Shouldn't imagine it's what?
Phone. I think you'll be all right.
I'm all right. Well, of course I'm all right. I'm all right. It's you that sounds sick.
Yeah, okay, look, I'm not sick. What can I do for you?
For me?
What's wrong?
What's wrong?
I can tell by the tone of your voice that something's wrong. It's not yet 9 o'clock in the morning, which is your more usual call time.
It's your father.
What's happened? Is he okay?
Yes, he's fine. Oh, God, you really mustn't panic so much. But he's gone away.
Away?
Yes. He's gone on a silent retreat.
A silent retreat?
Yes, I don't understand it either. It's hard getting a word out of him sometimes.
Well,
I can't imagine what good he thinks silence will achieve. I mean, I think it's potty, personally.
Well, silence offers a very useful opportunity to reflect.
Oh, please stop interrupting me, Damien. This is my call.
I'm sorry.
Look, what I'm calling to say is this. I've been in the house on my own for nearly a day, and the silence is killing me. No one to talk to, no one to listen to me. If you don't mind, I'm sure you won't, I'm coming to stay, just until your father's back.
Right, I should probably run this past
I won't be any trouble. You'll hardly know I'm there. I'll probably bring a magazine or something, but I just need someone to chat to every now and again. You know how much I hate talking on the phone.
Right. When can we expect you? An hour?
An hour? Good Lord. I haven't even packed yet. No. Heaps to do. I'll call tomorrow.
Fine. Oh, and I mean this in the kindest possible sense, dear. I have, as ever, an enormous amount going on. My usual columns and recipes do not, and never have done, write themselves. There is research to be done, reading around the topic, and then the small matter of double-checking all weights and measures that are included in each of my recipes. For some of them, even ascertaining the correct amount of seasoning, even if just as a guide, is a full-time job in itself. Anthony, of course, has his own work to focus on when he's not being distracted by thoughts of the amateur production of Hay Fever that he's soon to appear in. All this means that my mother could not have chosen a worse time to foist herself upon us. I'm not saying she isn't welcome. Of course she is. Family is family is family. But even so...
Ah, there you are. What was the phone call? Why didn't you come back to bed?
I was writing up my diary. Coffee is ready. You in the mood for porridge? I could double my quantities. It would be no problem.
No, I think I'll have toast, as per. Shall I plunge?
She's all yours.
So...
I'm sorry?
So who was on the phone?
Oh, yes, my mother.
Everything all right?
Yes, she's very well, I think.
So why was she ringing at this time?
Well, she's worried about my father.
What's he doing?
He's gone on a silent retreat.
Not a bad idea.
Charming.
Well, for him, I mean.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were being rude.
Yes, I was. I was being rude about your mother.
Ah.
Not you.
I see. You find my mother noisy?
Well, she's not noisy.
Good.
Well, but she's a little...
Yes.
Well, she can be rather talkative, Damien.
Yes, I suppose she can be a little talkative.
Especially when she gets on one. I mean, she's like you, in fact.
I beg your pardon?
Come on, Damien. You can be a bit talkative at times. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
You were suggesting it was a bad thing when my mother does it?
Yes, well, perhaps. But, now I'm backtracking.
Ridiculous. And rude. and incorrect. Actually, you know perfectly well that I'm rather a quiet person. Occasionally I can be forthright when the mood takes me, and goodness knows there are aspects of life about which it doesn't do any good at all, to be silent. And yet much of life, I think it's fair to say, I bear with what one could not unreasonably consider to be a sort of silent fortitude. I am a writer by trade and by choice, and when I occasionally have something to say, that is almost invariably my preferred outlet for it. So I think for you to describe me, of all people, as talkative is a little disingenuous.
Finished?
No, my mother's coming to live with us.
What?
You heard. I'll say it again, but you'd probably accuse me of being repetitive.
Oh, I'm sorry. What? Live with us?
Well, stay.
When? Why, when? For how long?
No, questions, questions, questions.
Wait, no, that was two questions.
Well, even so, she's coming tomorrow, and I don't know.
You don't know what?
How long she's staying
well,
for.
Well, so she might be living with us?
Well, she's just a little freaked out at finding herself alone in an empty house.
Yes, well, it might be freaky to find yourself alone in an empty house if you didn't know where it was and how you got there, but, I mean, essentially, she's just at home.
Your toast's burning, by the way.
Well, it isn't, actually.
Well, the crumb tray needs emptying, then.
Oh, fine. I get that. Why does it always do that?
Because you always try and do it with one hand.
Stupid machine!
Look, please do not be rude about the toaster.
Where's the dustpan and brush?
Usual place.
Thank you. Where's the usual place?
Larder door. Back off. Hook.
Thank you.
There we are.
Well, it's no skin off my nose.
What isn't?
Your mother coming to stay?
Oh, how very welcoming of you.
Well, I'll be out most nights anyway, rehearsing for hay fever.
Lovely.
So I won't actually have to see her very much anyway.
Have you been doing a correspondence course in hospitality? These are all such charming things to say.
Could you open the Brabantia for me?
You may or may not remember this, Anthony, but it's actually a pedal bin.
Yes?
Yes, well, the pedal is made of metal. I'm currently not wearing any slippers because somebody kicked them.
Oh, like living with Zola Budd.
Well, inevitably, much of the remainder of the day was a write-off. I always think if breakfast doesn't go well, you might as well give up there and then. Go back to bed. Get on a train and head for the coast. Fly to Panama and assume a new identity. Because any sort of flare-up, first thing, renders me incapable of focus. I managed a little bit of writing, but nothing serious. Mother phoned several times about her stay, even asking at one point if she needed to bring linen and towels. I'm not a holiday let, I told her. I just don't want to impose, she said. Maddening. Ian Frobisher rang a number of times, too. Would I mind doing some lucrative work, he asked me. Perhaps take a few of the semi-frequent requests that I get to speak at lunches or dinners. The thought of it. May the 12th. Tuesday.
Oh, who's that?
Oh, you know perfectly well who that is.
Oh, what time is it?
It's a quarter to eight.
Oh, quarter to eight. How could you possibly imagine this is a polite time to arrive at someone's house?
Could you please stop moaning and get into more of a host mode, Anthony? You can be rude to me within reason, but I am not having you being rude to my mother. Come on.
Yeah. All right, at least that we go to the loo.
Fine, fine. Hello, mother.
Hello, Damien. So nice of you to let me stay. I'm not too early, am I? What a journey. May I try to drive down two one-way streets?
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
The wrong way down them. I mean, I have no objection to people driving down one-way streets the right way, I understand. Just the wrong way.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You shouldn't do that.
No.
You should drive the right way.
Would you like to come in? Can I take your bag?
What a nice thought. Have you already breakfasted?
No, I've only just got up. It's a quarter to eight.
I had a bowl of muesli at 6:30, but I'd welcome tea.
Of course.
Oh, what's this vision? Oh, that's a nice dressing gown, Anthony.
Good morning, yes. A gift from Damien.
Oh.
And how are you, Mrs. Trench?
I'm fine, thank you, Anthony. I'm fine. I don't know if Damien mentioned that his father has gone away.
Yes, he did mention that. Health farm or something?
He's gone on a silent retreat.
Right. Yes, Damien did say, actually. Yes, that's, well, that is a bit of a surprise, isn't it? Have you heard from him?
I rang the number he gave me, but obviously he can't come to the phone. Well, he can come to the phone, but he wouldn't be able to speak because of the whole silence thing. Then the whole thing would have had the feeling of a nuisance call, which seemed a bit unfair, given that it would have been me paying for the call.
I see.
My mother said she rather fancies a cup of tea.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't mind one either. Very kind of you, Damien.
Right, shall we all go through to the kitchen?
It really is a lovely dressing gown. Very slimming.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Oh, perhaps you've lost weight.
Well, maybe
you
a little.
It's their dressing gown. Sure no one will have a coffee?
I think if our guest is having tea, then we should have tea, Damien.
Fine.
So, Anthony, what are you up to? Has your company taken flight?
Yes, things are ticking over nicely, but also, I'm not sure if Damien will have mentioned this, I've got a part in the local production of Hay Fever, the play.
Oh, how wonderful. What an amazing play. Oh, yes, very funny. Oh, you're perfect for Coward, isn't he, Damien?
Oh, just perfect.
You didn't audition, Damien?
Excuse me, where would I find the time?
Well, very easily, Damien. It's in the evenings.
Well, exactly.
And you don't work in the evenings.
Well, I might, actually. Ian and I have been discussing the possibility of my taking up one or two after-dinner engagements.
Really? Wouldn't you rather be doing an amateur production of Hay Fever? It is amateur, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
I saw a production of Hay Fever not that long ago in the West End. I absolutely adored it. Peter Bowles was in it.
Was he?
And Judy Dench.
That's right. Oh, hilarious. What a funny woman. I think we all ended up clapping every time she spoke.
My word.
Oh, it must have been such fun for the other actors just having to stand there and wait for the applause to finish before they could do their next lines.
Yes, yeah, sounds wonderful.
We were there, Mother.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's fair to say that my mother has very much arrived. Immediately after breakfast, Anthony showered, dressed and headed into town for a meeting I'm quite sure he hadn't mentioned, leaving me to try and make sure that Mother was comfortable and at ease. I went upstairs to work, but she followed me up soon after with a cup of tea. She'd made it with the bags that I have for the sole use of the builders, so of course I made polite noises, but there was no way that I could drink the stuff. I tried to work, but my mother kept interrupting me at regular intervals with offers of help. Would I like her to wash the towels? Could she go through the larder, checking the best-befores? I had to abandon work in the end and instead came down to prepare a lunch that would please her and then possibly send her off to sleep. Recipe. There really is, and I'm pretty certain I haven't contradicted myself in print elsewhere, nothing in the world that is more comforting than a risotto. There are so many varieties of risotto that one could almost blush at the possibilities, but I've always, well, since my early 20s at any rate, been a fan of this one, involving peas. For this you will need risotto rice, around 14 ounces, an onion, chopped finely, a pair of garlic cloves, also chopped finely, a small glass of white wine, or a big one you've already had a sip of, something like 2.5 pints of chicken stock, hot, a pound of fresh peas, pecorino cheese, ounce of, grated, butter, 2 ounces of, bare mint, fresh mint, handful of, roughly chopped, salt and pepper, as ever. Heat the oil and half of your butter in a large and ideally heavy-based saucepan. Once you've got a foam, add your onion, soften it for 5 or so minutes before adding the garlic, and then stirring in the rice and heating it through. Not for long, just until it looks shiny and has changed tone. Then pour in your wine, stirring it as it boils, and indeed evaporates. Lower your heat to something middling, and then slowly begin to add your stock, allowing each ladleful to be absorbed in turn. After a quarter of an hour or so, you could pop your peas in as well. What you're eventually aiming for is rice that has a soft feel to it, and yet still has a firm bite at its core. The mixture as a whole should end up somewhere on the creamy to fluffy spectrum. Personally, I'd be inclined towards the creamy end, but then I'm not everyone. When you're happy with it, take the risotto from the heat and stir in all that remains. Butter, cheese, the mint, why not some more butter, as well as seasoning. Leave it, lid on, for just a little while, and then serve. Delicioso.
Hello.
Well, I've got my mother to stay, actually, and so that's brought about a certain change in dynamics.
I see. Good. Writing much?
Trying to.
Yes, I understand. Yes, sometimes family matters can be distracting.
How is it all, Ian?
It's not good, Damo. I won't lie to you. Speaking only through lawyers at the moment. I keep getting emails about things I thought were ours, turning out to be hers. Not going to get too down about it. A lot of it's nothing new, but even so, expensive.
I can imagine.
Now, look, Damo, I know we've talked vaguely about this sort of thing, but I've just had another call about an after-dinner job.
Oh, right. Well, what would it be?
It's actually in 2 days' time.
Oh, my goodness. I'd need to do an awful lot of work between now and then, wouldn't I? I'm up to my...
Oh, damn.
Do you know, actually, that might be rather a good idea.
It's a dinner in Oxfordshire, some school or other.
I must say, it's rather short notice.
Well, it was going to be Ray Jarrow, but he's had to pull out last minute. Got to do a piece for The One Show about the largest sandwich factory in the Northwest.
Now, there's a subject.
But you're up for it.
Well, it's a terrifying thought, of course. How long do I have to speak for?
Oh, half an hour.
Half an hour? Oh, for heaven's sake.
Damo, panic is our enemy. Of course you've got half an hour of stuff in you. Look, there are a few of our clients do this sort of thing. I'll put you in contact with one if you like. You can have a chat over the phone, and I'm sure that'll help.
Yes, I mean, what's the latest I could pull out?
What? Well, you don't. I mean, you either do it or you don't.
Damien, darling, where's the recycling?
Oh, the recycling is where it's all... look, Ian, I'll do it.
Oh, great. I'll tell them immediately. Oh, God, I've got the bloody lawyer on the phone again. I'll have to go. What's he want now? My underpants?
Bye then. I put the phone down, feeling a combination of elation and dread. I've been asked about these things several times, but never dared go through with one. However, with Mother on the scene, I think that a legitimate excuse to bury myself away would be a good thing, and I'm also keen to demonstrate to Anthony that he's not the only one of us with performance genes. I spent the rest of the day examining the contents of my brain and going over old diaries to try and dredge up some amusing anecdotes about my life and career. Gosh, 30 minutes really is rather a long time. Anthony returned from rehearsals at 11:30 in high spirits, i.e. drunk. He claimed to have had an incredibly busy day, but when he was emptying his trouser pockets, out came 3 cinema tickets. Unbelievable. May 13th, Wednesday. Sleep proved impossible. I think my mother's visit may have somehow heightened my tension. Still, I've a whole day to write, and Ian has kindly arranged for me to meet another of his clients for a coffee, to pick up a few tips. Nigel something, I think the email said. We had a slight disaster earlier when my mother showered with the shower curtain outside the bathtub in the guest bedroom. Anthony, feeling a little guilty about yesterday's absence, volunteered to finish mopping up mother's upstairs damage, and so, after a quick muesli, I took my coffee up and got on.
Excuse me, are you Damien Trench?
That's right.
Yes, I was told I'd find you here. How are you? You're local, Ian tells me. Really had no idea. No idea at all.
Oh, well, yes, my partner and I love it here.
Mm, that's good, isn't it? Have you ordered?
I've not, no.
Hello, could I have 2? It's cappuccino, all right?
Absolutely fine.
2 cappuccinos, please. That's so kind. Thank you so much. Ever so friendly here. Totally, totally charming. Now, tell me, a speech, Ian says. When is it? Who's it to?
It's tomorrow night, actually.
A cancellation?
As it happens.
Dare I ask who?
Ray Jarrow.
Ah, yes, Antrenou always cancels. Not reliable.
It's at a sort of day school in Oxfordshire somewhere. It's a sort of parents' thing.
Oh, well, sure, they'll be delightful. Always a little bawdier than you imagine.
Oh.
Do you know what you're giving them?
Well, I've got 5 main anecdotes.
Sounds perfect. Is there a structure?
Yes, the food groups.
Oh, how fabulous. That'll be the middle of your speech, and then...
I'll put you in contact with one if you like. You can have a chat over the phone, and I'm sure that'll help.
Yes, I mean... What's the latest I could pull out?
What? Well, you don't. I mean, you either
Damien,
do it or you don't.
Damien, darling, where's the recycling?
Oh, the recycling is where it's all... look here.
What's really important is the beginning and the end. You need something strong to finish on. Perhaps a strong punchline, a joke.
But I hope something occurs to me.
Oh, better to prepare. Better to prepare, I find. Always better to prepare. There's heaps of funny jokes out there. Just use one. Could be a quotation.
Okay, well...
And then to open, you need an attention grabber. Something brief, something pithy, something that very quickly sums you up and sets out your story.
Right.
Something like, hello, good evening, I'm Damien Trench, diddly-diddly-dee.
Diddly-diddly-dee.
That's not what you'd actually say, obviously, unless you're Irish.
Really?
That's a joke, Damien. It's a joke. Well worth learning to recognise.
Right.
I wonder where those cappuccinos are.
What about hecklers? Will there be some?
Oh, we'd be very unlucky to get heckled. If you're calm, or look calm, you could just shrug these things off. Sometimes you can just gently patronise the audience. You'd be amazed what people enjoy.
Well, I dare say.
I once did a dinner in Tunbridge Wells. 400 people, 50-50 male-female split, all professionals. And this one chap...
Where are those cappuccinos?
He sat there shouting, rubbish! Well, I just said to him, I'm sure when you're at home, your wife has to listen to you, but the rest of us don't, so shut up.
And what happened then?
Well, the place went berserk.
They were furious?
No, they were laughing.
Were they?
Yes, because I just said something. I just very eloquently put this... I wonder where those cappuccinos are.
I was a little frustrated by my meeting with Nigel Whatever. I think it's because he's the sort of person that thinks that life always has to be about jokes. Now, jokes are all very well, but if I've been asked to make a speech, it isn't my role to be amusing. It is to talk about food and about cooking. Inevitably, some of what I'll say will be comical, but that's not my focus. In fact, what was most useful about my meeting with Nigel Blah was learning how I don't want to do a speech. May 14th, Thursday. I woke up half excited about and half fearing the evening speech. Anthony was kind enough to listen to me read the complete text all the way through and gave me a couple of pointers about diction and projection. He also emphasised the importance of a full vocal warm-up, which I think is perhaps taking things a little too far. My mother enjoyed it enormously and even offered to accompany me. I said if it was all the same, whilst her offer of support was generous, I'd feel better going it alone. I'm not 15 anymore. I caught a train at 4:30 and was then collected at the train station by a lady wearing a rather smart coat and carrying a reusable bag. And what's the precise format?
Well, usual stuff, marquee, 3 courses, a little entertainment between each one, and then you get up at the end when the coffee's being served.
OK.
Just do 30 minutes of your set, take questions if you fancy, although people can get a little boisterous.
Oh.
Oh, no, you'll be fine, fine. They all love a comedian.
I'm not a comedian.
Oh, what are you?
I'm a cookery writer.
Oh, how funny. Oh, well, hopefully.
Well, it's not really my thing.
Someone cancelled on us, apparently. Some dishy chap who does telly.
Yes, that'll be Ray Jarrow.
Oh, yes. But I'm sure you'll be fine. Just keep doing your jokes and you'll...
Yes, I'm not actually...
We've had all sorts. Brian Blessed, Dermot Murnaghan, Jane Asher, Steve Redgrave. It's very funny. Came on carrying an awl.
Right.
Only one who I remember having a difficult time was... what's his name? Nigel something. Not a fun evening. Do you want to pop your bag in the back?
I'll keep it on my lap, thanks. Jennifer, as she turned out to be called, directed me to the marquee where I did a sound check at the lectern. Completely empty, but for myself and the soundman, it was not at all intimidating. And then I just had to stand around until dinner. I was sitting at a table mostly of teachers who all introduced themselves politely. "We didn't know you did comedy as well," one said to me. The meal was, I have to say, disgusting. Do people ever have chicken supreme at home, I wonder, or is it merely served at functions? And salmon starters are so simple to get right. What is wrong with people? The talk at the dinner was all of local gossip, and I must say I found it rather difficult to hear much of what people were saying as the voices in the marquee got steadily louder and louder. It seemed to me that a lot of drink was being consumed. One table in particular, very near the stage in the lectern where I would later be speaking, were becoming extremely noisy and appeared to be being urged on in this regard by a tall man with salt and pepper hair who kept braying loudly before holding his glass aloft and then emptying its contents. As pudding began, a chocolate tart, what else, Jennifer approached and asked how I was feeling. When I confessed that I was beginning to feel sick with nerves, she proceeded to rub my shoulders for what felt like a full minute. "Ah, Jennifer," said someone at the table. As plates were taken and replaced with coffee, I took a final glance at the text of my speech.
"Ladies and gentlemen, if I could just have your attention at the moment. It's now time for this evening's speaker. Please welcome Damien Trench."
Well, that doesn't seem to have quietened anybody down, does it?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. It's my... my great pleasure to be here speaking. Hello.
Hello.
Ah, right. Thank you, sir. You can hear me. Right. That's very, sorry. Listen. Would you mind? I'm sorry. Would you? Right. Thank you. Sorry. No. Could you just quieten? Thank you. Thank you. I've written a speech. Thank you. My name.
Where's Ray?
My good friend Ray Jarrow can sadly not be with us tonight, owing... I'm not totally sure why. Oh, no, he's doing the one show. I remember now.
Who are you?
My name is Damien Trench, and I am a cookery writer. And I would like to take this opportunity to tell you about some of the experiences I've heard...
Why are you doing the one show?
I don't screen test well, apparently. About some of the experiences I've had in the world of cookery writing.
This was not how I was anticipating things would go. The more I spoke, the louder the noise in the room seemed to get. I begged quiet and attention several times, and each time I was met by the noise of mocking laughter. And the salt and pepper man kept shouting, "Not funny," and then laughing. The first time I looked at my watch, I had been on the stage for 3 minutes. The second time for 7, the third time for 9, and the fourth time, still 9.
Just because you're published in a Saturday supplement doesn't mean you're doing nothing the rest of the time. I'm often asked how I filled the remainder of my week.
Not by us.
Thank you, sir.
Not funny! Not funny!
I'm not attempting to be funny. I'm merely attempting to dispel a few of the myths that exist about the life of the cookery writer.
Not funny!
That really was it. People not listening, people exchanging glances, and on the salt and pepper man continued to shout, even when I wasn't talking. I desperately tried to remember that man Nigel's put down, but only fragments of it came to me.
The point I'm trying
not
to make...
funny!
Oh, everybody's listening to you now, but your big problem is your wife.
I wasn't sure exactly what it was about the wife that I was supposed to say, but that seemed to have done the trick. The man stopped shouting and sat back in his chair, looking deflated. A different kind of muttering broke out. Somebody shouted, "Shame." A couple of the other diners at his table put comforting arms around his shoulders, and he slumped forward with his head in his hands. I tried to carry on, but someone appeared at my elbow and said, "You can stop now," and I left the stage immediately. The problem, though, was retrieving my other clothes and satchel from whatever room they'd been locked in. Jennifer was very kindly asking people on my behalf. The teaching staff seemed too drunk to help, so I ended up sitting in Jennifer's sports car, anxiously watching the minutes tick by.
Twice Jennifer came back to the car to give me progress reports, but finally she returned with my things and off we sped. As we pulled up outside the station, one train was pulling out, but I rushed in to see what time the next one would be.
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
That was the last train. Oh, I don't believe it. What total nightmare this evening's turned out to be.
Well, why don't you just stay at mine?
I couldn't.
Oh, well, you don't want to be ringing round for hotels at this time of night.
Well, that's extremely kind of you.
But it's plenty of room in my son's staying with friends.
I see.
But come on, then. Hope you don't mind cats.
I cannot stand cats.
Well, here we are.
Oh, yes, very nice. Like your curtains.
Oh, yes. My choice. I did the whole place up not long after Roland went. Would you like a glass of wine?
Well, that'd be nice, actually. Haven't had a thing to drink all evening.
Me neither. Well, hardly anything. Here you are.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Here's to a total disaster.
You want to know about Jeremy.
Who's Jeremy?
The man who was shouting. Well, the man who was shouting the most.
Oh, he's such an unpleasant person.
His wife left him.
Why?
Well, wouldn't you? He's been totally put through the ringer and everyone knows all about it.
Well, even so.
Eventually, divorce is something you get over. I know I have.
Really could not have been more.
How did that feel?
It was, perfect nice, but...
Then maybe we should try another.
Let's not...
So long since I should...
Sorry. That's my phone. That's my phone.
Ignore it.
Jennifer, that's my... It's my partner.
Well...
He'll be worried about me.
He?
Yes, he. Hello, Anthony?
Damien, are you on your way? Your mother and I have just polished off two bottles of wine. Should we wait for you before we open the third, or...?
What? How much did she have?
Oh, about a glass of each. What about you? How did it go?
Oh, it went fine. Yeah, but I've missed the last train.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm staying over. Very nice lady called Jennifer, parent of the school.
Well, OK, well, sleep well. We'll see you tomorrow. Yes, well, you can open it. Now, will he know he's not coming back? Well, don't open. Oh, okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Oh, yeah, love you.
Well, then, I better show you to your room.
I really didn't mean
to. It's fine. First train leaves at 6:45 in the morning. There's a bus at 6.
Thank you.
She went upstairs noisily, and I was left at the back of her ground floor listening to the sounds of the garden. I undressed and got into bed, but Jennifer turns out to be one of those people who tuck sheets in at the foot end. Completely impossible to understand. I remade the bed, turned out the light, and tried to sleep. I felt utterly wretched.
Hello? Who's that? Jennifer? Is someone there? Oh.
In and Out of the Kitchen was written by Miles Jupp and starred Miles Jupp and Justin Edwards, with Michael Burtonshaw, Priyanka Burford, Selena Cadell, Philip Fox, and David Seddon. The producer was Sam Michelle.